Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning. It is a Monday morning, March 17th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital Wyoming Rehab physical therapists Justin Bridger and Lindsay Kinney. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, let's start over here. Lindsay, what does a physical therapist do?
Yes. So we are, kind of put it shortly, we are kind of like movement, or doctors of movement, rather. I kind of like to joke around with my patients that we're spirit guides through movement, right? So yeah. as somebody has an injury or recovering from surgery, we are using kind of our skill set to help guide them through their rehab.
Yeah.
And that's just from an injury standpoint, but there's a lot that we do from a prehab too, right? To prevent injuries. Because that's kind of a little bit in short.
No, I like how you use the prehab mm-hmm. words. You know, I got stories upon stories from the VA about rehabs. And my father ended up getting burnt really bad.
Oh, once, goodness.
And 30% of his body
wow.
scarred. One of them was right up underneath his armpit. And they grafted him.
Yeah.
And then required him to do certain stretches. And I don't remember my father ever cussing so much. So, yeah.
Sounds right.
he's got a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, sounds right.
Now, Justin, do you have anything to add to that?
Do I have anything to add? I think Lindsay summed it up very well, right? Movement specialists, we look at just kind of how that person's physiology works, and we want to optimize what they do so that they can do the things that they like. So, and that could be exercise, that could be running, like with the Bighorn Trail Run or the Dead Swede Project. It could be doing Habitat for Humanity. It could be all those things that physically you need or want to do to live just your life.
Yeah. How long have you been doing it?
I've been a therapist now for 8 years.
8 years. Yeah. Lindsay?
A little over two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit of a newbie.
What did you do beforehand?
So between undergraduate and going to PT school, I wasn't totally convinced on PT, surprisingly enough. So I worked a little bit in marine botany.
Oh, wow.
So my husband and I moved here from Washington State. So we lived along kind of the Puget Sound. And so I worked with the Department of Natural Resources doing marine surveying along near shore habitats. So did that for a little while, did lots of field work. And then I spent a little over a year doing some marketing at a small industrial manufacturing company.
How did we go from marine botany to physical therapy?
I know. So I had some exposure to PT in the world of rehab in high school and kind of primed my undergraduate training to satisfy both more ecology, but also medicine as well. And so I had kind of both buckets filled, but PT school is expensive. Mm-hmm. I wasn't totally convinced that I wanted to go that much in debt with school. So I tried some different avenues first, and I realized that I wanted to do PT. I couldn't see myself doing anything else.
When was the moment, or was there an incident, something happened, somebody say something, did mm-hmm. someone inspire you, where you were like, you know what, I'm going to go into PT?
Yeah. So in high school, my high school track and cross country coach was really my big inspiration for PT. He was a sports massage therapist, but also a coach for all of us kids. And he used a lot of his skill set as a professional runner and top tier running coach and massage therapist into his coaching methods and really cultivated this really great group of athletes through prehab and exercise and movement and developing kids to be not only great athletes, but really wonderful humans.
Yeah.
I really attribute a lot of where I am today to him. And then through my past kind of undergrad through college and such, my husband actually was a big proponent in encouraging me and making me believe in myself that I could do and pursue PT. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good coach, and a great husband can get you pretty far,
they
right?
They really, really can.
Can inspire you to climb mountains.
Absolutely.
Now, Justin, what about you? What kind of was the moment where you're like, you know what, this is where I want to put my life?
Oh, man. Like Lindsay, I think most therapists didn't go into it thinking they were going to be therapists.
Yeah.
Undergrad for me was business administration and management. I thought I was going into the corporate culture. Hated it. Hated it.
You're not the first time. Yeah, right. Yeah. I've heard that a few times.
I super nerd in high school and didn't get into health and fitness till later. And I did personal training in undergrad and I liked it, but I hated that whole sales pitch thing that personal training can be. If you've ever been in like a big commercial gym, it can feel like a car salesmanship.
But I loved working
with people doing health and fitness type stuff. And my family owned Good Health Emporium, which is now Good Health Market at the time. And I had a buddy of mine who was a personal trainer when we worked together. He was doing PT school in Boston. And I reached out to him. I was like, hey, man, tell me about this thing called PT. Because I have never been exposed.
Yeah,
I've never been injured in that way that I needed it. And I was like, what is it? Show me, tell me. And pretty much he's like, dude, it's like the coolest thing. It's just like personal training, but you're smarter and it's more fun. And it's like, cool. That sounds great. And so I had to do, to be in PT school, you have to do observation hours. You have to follow PTs around the community to kind of learn and figure out like what they do, who they are, what the business is about. And in that process, just really enjoyed it. So I did my shadowing with Wyoming Rehab originally. So I followed who the director is right now is Jeannie Brooks. I followed her for a bit. Kara and Katie over at CORE were also at Wyoming Rehab at the time. I followed them. I was also did some inpatient stuff up at Bighorn Rehab with therapist Tiffany, who's now at the hospital itself. At TCU, and watching all those people, yeah, it solidified that desire.
In a way, though, if you're a physical trainer, I come in, I'm looking to bulk up, we have a conversation, you teach me how to do that. There's a certain situation, though, when you suddenly go into PT, isn't there? Because now you're helping someone who may have been injured, and a lot of psychological things come with that. Because if I'm an athlete, I've worked my whole life to do this one thing. Now I blew a hemi, or now I blew a knee, my life is kind of shattered a little bit. Yeah. There's a bit of more than just physical care that comes with this job, isn't there, Lindsay?
Yeah. I really think that physical therapy, it's a really kind of vulnerable time in somebody's life, whether it's, an Achilles tendonitis, right, or a shoulder surgery.
Having trouble with it.
Right. It's a really intimate time and a really kind of intimate relationship between the PT and the patient, right? So when we meet somebody, assess somebody and we create kind of our plan for them, it's really individualized. It's based on the person, of how they're moving, what their protocol says, what the surgery is, as well as what their goals are. It's a really intimate and vulnerable experience. We really try to not only work on the physical side of things, but as well as kind of the psychosocial side too, right? Sometimes, especially with those that have had persistent pain for a really long time, sometimes just giving them permission to move is really what they need and all they need.
Yeah. And Justin, you find that to be true as well? I mean, having to kind of be my coach to kind of get me back.
Yeah. As my old professors say, PTs wear a lot of hats, right? There's that paradigm out there of like hats. So coaches,
cheerleader,
therapist, cheerleader, educator, friend, massage therapist if needed. Like we wear a lot of different hats. We do different things based on that individual's need. Mm-hmm. And people come in with a whole host of things, but they all present with similar psychological or emotional needs that we end up having to fill and help. And again, as Lindsay said, it's a lot of time it's giving permission for people to be okay and to know that it's okay to be sad or mad about whatever happened. And not everyone we see is even injured, right? Sometimes we see people for prehab issues or general health issues. Therapy is not just for the injured individual. It can be for other reasons. Mm-hmm. But typically that's the route you see people coming into therapy. So, yeah.
That's the majority of the patients.
That's 95%. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those situations like, and I'm horrible about it. I don't think about something until it starts to hurt.
Typical.
And now right? Exactly. And now I got a problem. And now I've got to catch up, you know, to the pain. And I'm a horrible racer. Let's just say that. So what kind of education, Lindsay, does this actually take to become a physical therapist?
Yeah. So you have your 4 years of undergraduate. So getting a degree in biology or exercise physiology or something along those lines. So you have kind of a typically. So you kind of are following a little bit of the pre-med route in undergraduate. And then, as Justin mentioned, you're getting shadowing hours, you're getting, you know, you're trying to fulfill some of the application requirements.
Have to take the GRE.
Write some essays.
Yeah.
Get some lots of hours, letters of recommendation from different medical providers in the community that you've worked with.
Yep. Through the shadowing, you know.
Yes. And then a huge interview process that you have to apply through, like, a national group that then distributes out your applications.
Yeah. And then if you get into a school, it's a 3-year doctorate program. We both have our doctorates. So
you're technically both doctors.
Clinical doctorates. So not like your medical doctorate you'd see at a primary care practice.
It's not a PhD, it's not an MD, it's that weird in between.
Yes.
That's interesting.
As in therapy, we always say it's gray.
Yes. It's gray. The gray area.
Yeah.
I like that, though. Yeah. But, man, that is a lot of work. So if you are going to do this, it has got to be something that you've kind of told yourself, I love this.
Yes.
You do.
Yes. It's a big commitment.
That's the reason for the observation hours, I think, because they're like, you have to prove it to yourself. It's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Before you start down this very long, probably difficult road.
Yeah.
You better know exactly what the gravel looks like.
Absolutely.
Right?
100%.
Now, when we look at certain preferred methods, I mean, I know with every injury becomes a different type of therapy. What would you say, you know, looking at this question I wrote down, it's kind of changed in my head here as we're having this discussion.
Yeah.
What would you say is the one that is your go-to? Is there a go-to?
Treatment approach?
Yeah.
Personally, I think the evidence is super clear that it's exercise is the biggest driver of what we can do to improve a person's ability to function, getting out of pain. But it's graded.
Yeah.
It depends on severity of the pain, the nature of the pain, sensitivity of that individual's pain response, and those tissues surrounding it. So exercise could look like contracting muscles but not moving a joint. It could look like doing box jumps.
Mm-hmm.
It could totally vary.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I will use a lot of manual therapy in the clinic as well. So if we look at the research, both exercise is one of the most recommended approaches to treating most things. Manual therapy tends to be kind of the second recommendation. And manual therapy is anything from soft tissue work. So we see a tight muscle, we can work out that tight muscle.
Okay.
If somebody's having, let's say, trying to bring somebody, you know, their arm overhead is really restricted, we can do a thing called joint mobilizations to help encourage that movement to be less painful and they getting more motion out of it. And that's more of a passive treatment that we can use, but patients tend to really like it because it feels good usually, and it can make a pretty big difference for people. And then when you do your retest after you do that technique, people usually feel better and they're surprised about the changes in their movement afterwards. Hmm. And then we always follow it up with exercise. So it's like, that is hands down what you always
the
have to do.
The paradigm is,
and remember the exercise.
Yep.
Right, is get the motion and then train the motion.
Yep.
Your prescription pad says get your butt off couch.
That's right.
Do your home exercises.
That's about it.
Don't make me have to call you. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital, Wyoming Rehab, physical therapist Justin Bridger, and Lindsay Kinney right after this.
Look at the show unit right now.
Let's do that before they're all sold.
Contact Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty about Synergy Shopominiums.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. Speaking with me this morning, Sheridan Memorial Hospital, Wyoming Rehab physical therapist, Justin Bridger and Lindsay Kinney. Now, we were talking about some things offline, mostly having to do with my ornery father. I talk about him a lot. Don't worry about it. So how do you motivate patients to do these things? We talked about there can be a lot of pain behind this. And then you've got people like me who really get glued to a chair. I'll just be honest with myself. How do we motivate patients?
Gosh, that's actually a really hard question in my head. It seems easy when I'm in the clinic.
Is that one of those,
it,
if we could figure that like, out, we got lightning in a bottle?
That's 100% for what that is. Yeah. Everyone is individual. And again, as I said earlier, therapy is gray. So it's gray for every individual. Some people want, like, that motivating factor is like being like, hey, you're better than this. Let's get going, right? Like, they like that almost negative self-talk. Like,
yeah,
just push it. And they love it. And other people, they want a little more of a handhold, and that's fine. Like, they need permission to be like, it's okay. You want to do these things. It will potentially be challenging or tender at times. That's normal. It's okay. You want to do these. I want you to do these. We can do it together.
Yeah. Right?
Teamwork.
Yeah. I will try to – well, yeah, manual therapy is kind of my go-to to help kind of – provide the body with a little bit of a different stimuli to help reduce pain. That can be a really effective strategy. And sometimes, like if somebody's saying they have pain with a squat or something like that, we just modify the movement and we can show patients and show people that like we can do a squat, but if we just tweak this, you feel better. And usually there's a lot of buy-in with that. Yeah. It's just using our expertise of how the body moves. Yep. And showing patients that, if we just tweak this a little bit, you feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this as an exercise.
Yeah.
So this will be a part of your home program. And so we get a lot of buy-in.
Yeah.
You know, doing stuff like that. Those are both the exact same methods that were used on me.
For sure.
Now I know.
Hey, they're effective. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's training behind this.
There is. And there's something to be said that you have to find the thing that person wants to be able to do. Because, right, people are coming to us because they lost the functionality of something.
Yeah.
Whether that's to stand up from a chair, because you're living in a one rep max life where to stand up from a chair is the best you can do, right? And they want to be able to play with their kids or their grandkids or their great grandkids. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's they want to get back into that running component. So you have to find what it is that they need or want out of the task we're giving them, the end goal.
Yeah.
The saliency. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of put trust in your patient because you're like, here's some bands, here's a roller, head to the house and use it this many times a week. And you got guys like me, I think those are probably the dustiest things in my home right now.
You're showing your cards now.
I absolutely am. And my physical therapist up at the VA is probably just shaking his head and closing his eyes right now. Yeah. Just rolled. I knew it. You know?
Yeah.
But these techniques, I mean, are you trained on these? Or is this kind of something you learn along the way? Is there ever a psychology class or something where they're like, look, you are going to be dealing with folks. Some. During some of the hardest times of their lives.
No, there was no education like this in our schooling.
Really?
No classes, no information on motivational interviewing or, you know, we talk about kind of the psychosocial components with therapy, but that's really all we get. And so a lot of that comes with experience. My husband's the psychiatrist here.
Oh, cheater.
So yeah. I have a little bit of help with that.
You've got a go-to.
I do
right
have
away.
A go-to. And he's been a really great resource for us of how especially with our more difficult populations, like how do we get these people motivated? What is the underlying cause of pain, right? Yeah. Or their pain? And sometimes it's one part of it can be physical and the other part can be, you know, emotional pain can absolutely contribute to that. So, he's been a really great help.
Well, and pain can make somebody angry.
Yeah.
You know, facing a lot of different things all at once. If,
for sure.
And I had a sergeant who had shoulder pain. He was getting older. You know, he had kind of passed up his opportunity to retire multiple times.
Oh, goodness.
He'd been in the service for a long time.
Yeah.
But then he started getting this shoulder pain. His answer, let's go do some bench presses. We got to work this pain out. And I'm like, if that's bone pain,
yeah, right.
You know, you're not going to be improving anything. Mm-hmm. And he would just get aggressive and mad at himself.
Yeah.
And I think it was more about he's not a young man anymore.
Yeah.
He's seeing that age creeping and he's getting a little upset about it.
Right.
You know, so I took a different approach with him. He ended up getting shoulder surgery, by the way.
Yeah.
How do you stay up to date? I mean, there's a lot of advances in the world of exercise. We're always seeing something new. Well, we found this out. We found that out. Don't do this. Mm-hmm. You need to do that. Mm-hmm. Does the physical therapy world, because it's so linked, does it change as often? I mean, are you seeing new medical journals where they're like, oh, this, we've been doing this for years. Let's stop that. Let's start doing this.
Yes. So I will say physical therapy, I mean, there's always new research coming out, but for physical therapy, we have clinical practice guidelines that we should be kind of following, which I just took a big exam this last weekend in preparation for staying up to date and
oh, wow.
encouraging or kind of continuing my professional advancement in the world of orthopedics. And so I've really delved in pretty deep in some of those clinical practice guidelines this last 6 months in studying. And so we really rely on that information to help guide us with treatment. So if somebody, you know, throughout their back, right, we have guidelines that help guide us through the treatment for those individuals and that we should be using that information. I will say, though, there's, as Justin mentioned, it's very, very gray. And so there are some techniques that we rely on that there is no evidence to support it. But for some patients, it works.
But it works.
And so, you know, we try our best to stay as evidence-based as possible, but we do have the, you know, fortunate ability to break out some of those other tools in our tool belt to help people feel better.
Yeah. And I think with research in general, a lot of times what you see in science is you see these huge pendulum shifts of like, oh, research is all this way. Oh, it's all this way. Right. You see it on TikTok, Instagram, everything else. Right. Like nutrition as the thing. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Fruit's bad. Oh, fats are bad. Oh, carbs are bad. Right. Sugar. Oh, it's all sugar. Right. It's really more of seeing through the trees and seeing the woods is what they are. It's all about the middle approach and knowing that it's not probably this huge one way or huge another.
Yeah.
So it's knowing that everything is individualized and it is that middle road.
So if you see something on YouTube or Instagram that says three exercises that are going to help your back pain,
it could,
but probably not.
Yeah. Right.
So,
and I think all of us have seen that, especially those of us who, you know, have ever Googled back pain, treatments,
Dr. Google,
what should I do, when to be worried and when not.
Right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your social media just changes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then you start getting those types of things. Uh-huh. So now how do we handle movement disorders up at the hospital itself? I mean, what is a movement disorder?
I don't have as much experience up at the hospital right now. I've worked primarily outpatient since graduating school. But with the PTs up at the hospital, it's again, I mean, we take into consideration, you know, their diagnosis, especially if they have like a neurodegenerative disease, like Parkinson's or something like that. We take that for what it is and we understand what some of the limitations that they have. But, you know, our approach is individualized. If they're having problems walking, we try to address that. I don't know if you have anything else to add to that.
Yeah. Justin. So, I mean, at the hospital, so movement disorder being this idea that like something's out of whack and the person doesn't move correctly. That's the general term of what we're saying here. But really what we're saying is like, the person had knee surgery. The person had a maybe heart attack, and now their heart just doesn't work the same way. And so the movement disability is really more of a capacity issue.
Okay.
Right. Can they walk down the hallway correctly without causing heart issues or heart pain?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, again, a neurological disorder in the hospital setting, right? Individual had a stroke because they coughed too hard, right? After severe COVID symptoms or something, right? That weakened their cardiovascular system for some way, right? There's bizarre cases out there, mm-hmm. right? But what you see is then we train that dysfunction that we do see, and diseases present in very specific ways typically. Sometimes there's some out of typical things you see, but as therapists like to say, we treat what we see.
Yeah.
So we're not doing imaging. We're not doing like crazy tests that are super expensive. Our tests are movement based. They are position based, and seeing the symptoms that the person presents with in those positions. And then we treat that dysfunction. And that's inpatient or outpatient.
That's a really good way.
It really doesn't matter. It's just a matter of scale and scope of where that person's at that time.
And it's got to be so difficult. And I know I'm going to end up reaching that point at sometime in my life.
We all do.
Yeah, because we all do.
We all do.
But it's where you have to suddenly realize I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. And I have to learn how to work around it.
For sure.
I mean, is that the proper terminology? Work around it or adapt?
Yeah, adapt is a good way to look at that. Yep.
Yep.
Modify.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Modify my lifestyle so that I can actually do this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think we get this misconception too that just because we age doesn't mean we don't get to do those things anymore. So as an example, I had a 92-year-old this summer who was trail running.
Yeah.
And she rolled her ankle. That was it. She rolled her ankle, had a fibular fracture with that rolled ankle, still weight bearing, all that. We got her back to trail running that summer.
I just love that story.
Right. Like just because it's an age, as long as people move, age is more of a number than an actual physical feature.
Mm-hmm. My father would love to hear you say that.
So
he's 80 years old.
Yeah.
And he throws his own hay. To this
yeah,
day,
right.
80 years old,
oh, yeah.
whole flatbed trailer full of hay bales, and he did it all
I've
himself.
I've never met a stronger person than a farmer and a rancher.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, he's one of these guys. He believes retirement leads one place and one place
that's
only.
Right.
So he never, ever will. He refuses to do so.
Yeah.
And it's him, his horses, and his hay.
That's
holy cow.
Yep.
Get out of his way when it's fence fixing time. It's no patience. All right. So what is the range of treatments that the team can actually help folks with up at the hospital? I mean, that's kind of a broad question, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
If we look at different treatments that you might, let's narrow that down to what do you see the most in our area?
Okay. So
probably
I have to break this down even further because it depends on the setting. So we talked about the hospital. So the hospital is broken up into different categories, right? They have the ICU, they have the ED, emergency department, they have the transitional care unit or the TCU, med-surg. So you see people in different settings of the hospital itself, and then the outpatient clinic where we are, different setting altogether. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the treatment approaches tend to be more movement-based in an inpatient setting because mm-hmm. we don't have – right. There's other issues, infection, wounds that we can't do some of the other things that we might do in the inpatient setting. Right. The focus is on getting the person capable of going home so that we can do the other parts in the outpatient or home health setting.
Yeah.
So essentially, even after a surgery, let's say a major surgery, I'm going to see you. You're going to pop in and say, look, we're going to eventually you and I are going to be working together outpatient.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is how we can get ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, yeah, no one wants to sit in the hospital for 4 months doing therapy there. Much rather be at home.
Oh, yeah.
Playing with your dog.
A lot cheaper, too.
Right. Yeah. A lot cheaper, too. Yeah.
You find yourself in transitional care quite a bit.
We have a group of PTs up there that are primarily up there, and we will fill in as needed up at the hospital.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
But you primarily work down at the outpatient clinic.
Yep. Yeah, we're at the outpatient clinic. Okay. So people are healthy enough that they can come into a building to do therapy services. Yep. I have my major area that I was in TCU skilled nursing facility prior to outpatient clinic. So, I have more of that experience in that regard.
I've been purely outpatient.
Really?
Ortho. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's kind of where my love is. I did a hospital rotation during my clinicals, and I did love that. I did love kind of rounding on kind of med-surg floor. I like the outpatient setting a bit more.
Any particular reason?
Less medical stuff that I have to worry about.
Well, there you go. Like the wounds.
Right.
And
you know,
the stitches.
No one's going to have a, less likely somebody's going to have a heart attack on me or something along those lines. We're not holding on to gait belts too much in our clinic. You know, somebody's not going to fall. Like, less likely for that to happen in our clinic. And, I can keep somebody up if somebody tries to topple over. I can do it, but I'd rather not.
Right. Yeah.
This is radio. Lindsay is tiny.
She is kind of tiny. And you're a big guy.
I'm a bigger guy.
Yeah. You hitting the weights quite a bit.
I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, in that.
I can move people.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes.
Is that part of it? Like, is that one of the driving factors behind you working out where you're like, I can better do this?
I think
one part of it, probably.
Yeah, one part. Yeah. I think most physical therapists tend to be worker outers, adventure enthusiasts, outdoor.
Active. We just know too much.
Individuals.
you understand the movement.
We enjoy that component of it. Mm-hmm. And yes, there is a certain level of degree of, and it probably dependent on your location of where you are, whether that's inpatient or outpatient. I know myself, like working in the inpatient setting, I certainly lifted so I knew I could pick up that person if I needed to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there were instances I had to.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
But even, we've got some tiny little gals up at the hospital. Body mechanics makes a big difference.
Makes a big difference.
So you may be tiny, but, we are mighty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, look at a Harley Davidson kickstand.
Exactly.
That's a great
exactly.
big piece of metal, but look at everything that it does. All right, I got to take a quick commercial break. More with Sheridan Memorial Hospital, Wyoming Rehab Physical Therapist, Justin Bridger and Lindsay Kinney. Right after this, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan. Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. We're brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. This morning, we're speaking with Wyoming Rehab Physical Therapist Justin Bridger and Lindsay Kinney. Now, folks, spring is only 3 short days away.
Woo-hoo.
I can't wait, man. Like, I'm kind of tired of the snow. My wife would argue with me, and she does, but it's good to see spring coming in. Folks are going to be taken to the trails. We're going to be engaging in more outside activity. What advice, and Justin, I'll start with you. What advice would you give folks, from a physical therapist perspective? You got guys like me who've been sitting inside, don't really take too much advantage of the winter, although I should. Now I'm looking at getting out.
Yeah.
What should I do?
I think the biggest takeaway as a PT standpoint is always start slow and low. So if you're like, I was running 5 miles a day, before winter, I'm going to go right back into it. Probably not. That's we see people for that issue all the time, right? So the biggest advice, outdoor adventures, because you did nothing in the winter, expectations lower, allow your body to adapt, right? Because everything is adaptation.
Yep. I don't know if I have much to add to that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll rephrase the question for you, Lindsay. I got my wife loves tennis.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So this year I got us all new tennis stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I used to play racquetball about 20 years ago. So now she's going to want to get out there on those courts.
Mm-hmm.
What should I keep in mind?
Yeah, so definitely, hopefully you've done some amount of walking or just aerobic, base aerobic stuff over the winter.
I've seen it on TV before. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe start there. Start with just walking, priming your body for just movement, right? Especially going into something like tennis where there's a lot of pivoting and quicker movements. For tennis specifically, I would definitely foresee working on some upper body work, strengthening, shoulders, core, chest, back, and then starting to work down towards elbow. You know, there's tennis elbow for a reason.
Yeah.
working there and probably starting with that just to get some base training under your belt before starting back with tennis. Or at least getting into the kind of the more intense side of it, I guess.
So don't go out there thinking I'm a pro just yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you should go in that mindset. Just
yeah,
know,
there we go.
Right? All right. Positive outlook. Yeah.
Just grade it.
Just got to work up, right?
Yeah.
It's a curve. There's
yes,
a curve.
Yes.
Now, so basically, you're looking to hit those trails, folks, maybe half it at first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make the big challenge a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would any of this advice change based on age? We've got a great senior community around here. Pickleball.
I was shocked
huge.
You said tennis and not pickleball.
Yeah.
Because that's the game right now.
She hasn't
right?
played pickleball yet, but she will.
It's
I'll
amazing.
Guarantee it.
It's yeah. amazing.
You know, kind of the same advice to some of the older community getting them back out there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, being older, a lot of those individuals are retired, so they have more opportunity to do other things. So in the wintertime, I know I've seen tons of people at the YMCA lifting, working out, doing other stuff. That definitely primes you going into summer activities where maybe you're doing more already or in that phase. The idea, I think, ultimately is, again, knowing that your body might need more mobility work, that the tissues are not as resilient. So you need to just be more primed going into your season of sport of choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, you have to keep that in mind a little mm-hmm. bit more every year.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think something should be said about maintaining fitness is way easier than building.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kind of this paradigm of as we are younger, really pushing the limits of functional abilities and then maintaining as we get older is something we should strive for. And again, it's easy to maintain compared to building. I don't know if anyone on the radio show listening is like, try to gain muscle. It's really stupid hard.
Oh, I gave up, buddy.
It's really hard.
I gave up.
So,
I was 120 pounds soaking wet when I joined the service.
Yeah.
They fed me a full Subway sandwich before weigh-in. They didn't think I was going to make
right.
it.
Right. Right.
Goodness.
You know? Yeah. I was a little guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this belly didn't show up till I was about 40 years old. So I get it. Yes, it is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Difficult. So older individuals, mm-hmm. you always see those like those fancy drinks and stuff. And I know you're not their medical doctors mm-hmm. and wouldn't advise or not advise. But like more protein into the body as I get older.
Ooh.
I mean, we're not registered dietitians. That is their scope.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to registered dietitians locally, I'm aware of this idea that protein is more blunted in the older individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a higher need for a protein-rich diet as we get older.
I think that's just for all ages, honestly. And, we just don't get enough
protein
in our diets in
and
general.
I mean, the recommendations keep changing to higher levels. Mm-hmm. Ultimately.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they keep changing higher. You know, old Arnold had it kind of right, you know, and they're like 1 gram per pound.
Holy cow.
And again, registered dietitian, we are not.
Right, right.
Right?
Right.
Talk to your professional on that because there are other issues why you may or may not be able to do so.
Yeah.
But those recommendations keep inching higher.
Mm-hmm.
So before I let you go, I only got about 5 minutes left.
Sure.
So I'm going to go ahead and milk your brains for techniques that I can use at home to help me as going into the spring? Instead of going to a gym, let's say I'm in my living room. What can I do? Is there stretches? Is there something, lunges that I can do to get ready for the spring season? Mm-hmm.
I think I'm always going to bias the aerobic side of things. I'm a runner myself, so I'm always going to bias that standpoint. But just getting out and walking, I think, is always a great place to start. You know, there's a lot of benefits just from walking. And I think the American College of Sports Medicine recommends 150 minutes a week of walking or aerobic exercise to just maintain, or I guess if you're starting from nothing, but maintaining some amount of aerobic base. So that's usually a good place to start with. That's usually where I try to start with a lot of my patients. It's just get out and walk, get out and move your body in some way, shape, or form. And then from a strength perspective, I think that they're from a stretching, I don't tend to prescribe stretching very much unless absolutely indicated, but I always tend to bias more strength-based things. So lunges, squats, and add some plyometrics into your, you know, little squat jumps, split squat jumps. Those types of things can do a lot for somebody, especially in preparation for spring and outdoor exercises, activities, to basically meet the demand of those activities.
Yeah, sure. You don't need equipment to build functionality. You can go from bilateral work, two legs, two arms, to unilateral, one leg, one arm movements. Again, I think we should talk about like that idea of movement in the world is dynamic. It can be one or two leg, one, two arm. It can be rotation. It can be straightforward. It can be lateral. You should do all the movements. Get that practice in for going out into sport. Yeah.
How does somebody come and see you, Justin?
So super easy. So Wyoming Rehab with the hospital, currently we have a policy that we do need a script for therapy. But that is really, really, really easy to get. You can literally go down to Sugarland Clinic or any of the other clinics in town.
Primary care. Go see your primary care doc.
Yeah, whoever you want and be like, yo, this is an issue. I think therapy would do it. And the doc will write you the script. Yeah. I literally sent people, and in 45 minutes, they came back with a script, and I got them on the schedule that week.
Yeah, I think even if you don't have an injury, but you're preparing for the Big Horn Mountain Run, and you want to be more efficient and more, you know, and get a PR or something like that. And you want to look at your gait or get, you know, have a good base of strength underneath you. You can call and, you know, come and see us as well. And we do need a script.
But we do free screens.
But we do free screens as well.
It's simple and easy.
So even if you don't have an injury, we come on down and see us. Yeah. I think
you don't need a script because of a pain issue.
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Mm-hmm. So
just tell the doc what's up and be like, I want to do therapy and they will get it done.
Or, you know, I think if we had it our way, we would see everybody before they had an injury.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the best way to prevent them.
Yeah. Doctors of movement. That's what we do.
The doctors of movement. I like that. I'll probably use that at some point, Justin. I really want folks to always consider physical therapy above medication beforehand. Agreed. I am not a doctor, but that is something.
Agreed.
You know, with things that I did in my youth have caught up with me. Uh-huh. And I decided to go to a physical therapist because I didn't want to become hooked on anything and pain medication. I didn't want to have to take that pill every day. I just much rather work it out, figure out a way to live with it, and get stronger. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, they are here to help you out. I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. This has been a hoot. I've had a great time with you guys.
Well, thank you. It's been awesome.
All right. And you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.